We are opposed to the passage of House Bill 563. We feel it would increase costs and not necessarily increase the efficiency of the decision-making process by the boards of fisheries and game. Pardon me, this is just for fisheries. We feel that because fishing game across geographical boundaries, that impossible situation would be created with regional boards having regulatory authority. It also decreases the role of the local advisory committee, and we are in strong support of anything that strengthens the local advisory committee input into the regulatory process. We feel also it would cause hardship to various user groups in the state, particularly in commercial fleets that fish in several of the proposed regions. They'd have to attend several board meetings. They'd have to carry several regulation books. There is a problem in getting a regulation published on time when you have a number of regulatory boards. House Bill 645, an act changing the composition of the Board of Fisheries. We are opposed to this bill. We feel that an increase of board members will not necessarily increase the effectiveness of decision making. In fact, the opposite may be true. We feel somewhat in sympathy with the old saying that God so loved the world he did not send a committee. Again, this bill would decrease the role of the local advisory committee, and we can't stress too much our support in strengthening the local advisory committees. HB 658, an act relating to proposals for fishery regulations. We are opposed to House Bill 658. We really have concerns that a private individual cannot make a direct proposal to the board as it has been for 25 years. We feel that the present board system, even though it may need modification and change in some areas, has been an effective process. And to change this process, we think, would be contrary to the very democratic system that has been established in Alaska for the regulation of fish and game. I've heard comments today about that we shouldn't have a professional board of fisheries. Not to get into semantics, but I really feel in the council's support that we should have a full-time board. And I believe that there would be a difference in the definition of between a professional board and a full-time board. The problems that are facing the Board of Fisheries today in Alaska, with international agreements, with more and more court decisions, both federal and state courts, making decisions on fish and game, the increase in the user group pressures, I do believe, and also in the development of critical fishery habitats, that we do need a full-time board that has to work 12 months out of the year. That completes my testimony. If there's any questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Anders.
This is Tom, the moderator in Juneau. I'd like to check with all the legislative teleconference centers and see, do any of you have participants that you haven't told me about? Do any of you have any participants? Once again, do any of the LTCs have anybody that would like to speak to the committee at this time? We'll go to Dillingham then, and then back to Anchorage. Dillingham teleconference?
This is Jim Timmerman, Dillingham, representing the Bristol Bay Native Association. I'm the fisheries program manager. And the first thing I'd like to comment on is the board system. We're satisfied with the system as it works now, where the governor has legal authority to appoint and the legislature questions only if the qualifications of the applicants are in doubt. And number two, on Mr. Val Anguson's appointment to the State Board of Fish, I am also a commercial fisherman, and I sport fish when I'm not commercial fishing, as does Mr. Anguson. Urban sport fishermen's needs are different from rural sports fishermen's needs, and Val being a resident of this, the Bristol Bay region, can better serve both the commercial fish and the sport fishermen's needs in this region than can a sport fisherman from an urban area. I thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Jim.
Tom, the moderator here, we'll go to Anchorage and then to Fairbanks. Anchorage, your next person, please. Anchorage, we are not hearing you. Do you have a person in Anchorage?
Yes. No. As a matter of fact, the participant here in Anchorage changed his mind, and we have no one here that wishes to testify at this time.
All right, fine. Thank you. We'll go ahead to Fairbanks, and then after that to Soldat. Fairbanks, may we have your next person, please?
Yes, this is Stan Bloom, and I'm the legislative chairman for the Chittenden Dip Netters Association, and I'd like to testify on all the boards. I'm also a sports fisherman, and I eat all the fish I catch. I don't sell one. I'd like to comment on House Bill 526 and tell y'all that the economic loss was about to be changed to income loss a while back by another testifier. There's a lot more economic value to fish than income. I consider it a recreation. I consider it helps me out in my food bill, and the tourists come here and spend more money than a commercial fisherman's ever spent on a fish. And if you were going to do an economic effect on a community, you could go down to Chittenden and find out exactly how much it would cost those folks if you shut us off down there, as the board has already done. So what we oppose, and I personally oppose, Bill 526, although I wouldn't mind seeing a cost-benefit study done on the fisheries in Alaska, because when they did it in Texas, it sure surprised everybody that the support fishery industry was contributing twice as much money as the commercial fishery was. And they actually closed those buggers down and let the sports fishermen catch them and bring in the money to the state. I know the commercial fisherman thinks that he brings a lot of money into this state, but I bet you that he takes a lot of it to Seattle with him when he runs on down there in his boat. On 658, I oppose that. I think that every man should be able to put a proposal into the Board of Fisheries. Even though the board's made up of all foxes and us chickens ain't got a chance anyway on the proposals, and I'll get to that a little bit later on one of these other bills. 563 is totally bad. I oppose that. And, you know, we're seeing in our game and fish regulations right now where everybody makes them a little rule that only pertains to their area. I've never seen the Copper River Basin drawn on a map. As a matter of fact, now I think if you ever do it on a map, you're going to have to modify it and show me how Toke and some of these other villages are down there in that Copper River Basin. You have these, all these different regionals are just going to put a bunch of more lines on maps. We're already divided up to just about as much as we can get. We're at each other's throats. The Aquaculture Corporation down there stated in their plan that they did not even want to consider dividing up shortages and fighting over it. That's exactly what we're doing in the state right now. We oppose those bills. However, I think you all need to pass a bill, and I think 645 would be a real good vehicle to pass with certain amendments. It could be a way to get something through the legislature. It's too late to present another bill right now. Anyway, first of all, let me state that the numbers on the board is immaterial. You know, 1 out of 9 or 12 out of 5,000 is, you know, still not Democratic representation. The guy on there a while ago said that we've got the most democratic fish and game management in the world, in Alaska. And I agree with that, up until the point that it gets to a top-heavy commercial fisheries board. And nowhere under the law that I can read does it say that all the fishermen have to be commercial fishermen. I can't see where being a commercial fisherman qualifies you to manage fish anymore than being a guide qualifies you to manage the guiding board. Guiding board, by the way, is not allowed to be made up of all guides. our legislature said they are not going to confirm that board until we get some of our demands. Everyone on the, we polled them on Tuesday night's teleconference, and they said they are not even going to hold the hearings, which they do control, until some of our demands are met. Some of our demands are, we would like to see this 645 amended to include that the makeup of the board will include at least one person from each of these judicial units or the South Central, the same areas that are covered in Bill 563. We would like to see a member on the board from each one of those areas. We would also like to see no user group, not even detonators, make up a majority of the members on the board. So if it's seven members, that means three can be commercial fishermen, and the governor can take and leave his three best ones on there, and he can take and get those confirmed. He's not going to get them confirmed any other way, I can tell you that. If we have to go to court and file a lawsuit and say it's illegal, we're going to do it. But the makeup of the board should not be a majority of any user group. No proposal that is passed by an unconfirmed board or a board that is made up of less than a majority of unconfirmed members should take effect until they are confirmed. The makeup of the board, if it was nine members, could be four commercial fishermen, and four of those commercial fishermen could be, that are already appointed, could be confirmed. But we're not going to stand for a top-heavy, undemocratic board, and there's no way anybody can tell me that those commercial fishermen are not making decisions on allocations such as they did at Chitna that are top-heavy and weighted in favor of the commercial fishermen. And Bill 645 and the companion bill in the Senate there, Bill 487, could be modified and be acceptable to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Sam.
This time the moderator in Juneau. Vicki in Seward, are you there? Vicki in Seward? Hearing no response, we're going to go to Soldotna and take the next two people you have. May we have your first speaker, please?
This is Bob Wiseman in Soldotna. I'm testifying on my own behalf today as a sport fisherman and a part-time guide on the Kenai River. And I'd like to testify on all four bills today. I'm opposed to Bill 563 on the grounds that it would increase the bureaucracy and the cost to the taxpayer, and probably decrease, if it's possible, the efficiency of the Board of Fish, because it would divide the state into the regional areas and everybody with their own little axe to grind instead of managing the fisheries for everybody in the state as a whole. On Bill 526, the intent seems to be well aimed, but I feel that the fact of the bill would be to reduce the effectiveness of the Board of Fish, because at present time there appears to be a lack of funds, or at least a definite lack of information for them to work with on economic and biological information. And to obtain that information, particularly the economic information, I think would be very costly to the taxpayer and probably wouldn't increase their effectiveness. On Bill 645, I cannot see where changing the number of the members on the Board of Fish would in fact make them any more or less efficient than they are now, or more or less effective. We just need a good comprehensive Board of Fish, and these seven members I think could do it if we had a good representation. On Bill 658, I think that this bill would decrease the effectiveness of the local advisory committees, and I think that we should concentrate more on legislation that would make the local advisory committees more effective and more helpful to the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiseman, for your testimony.
This time the moderator will take another person in Soldotna, and then we'll come back to Juneau and then back to Soldotna.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My name is Joseph Malatesta, and I want to speak today on House Bill 526, companion bill, Senate Bill 357. I would like to bring the legislative process into view here, where The process of making laws in the state of Alaska or anywhere else is governed by a set of rules. The judicial system throughout the United States is governed by a set of rules. We have to follow these rules and laws in order to make fair decisions. Let's talk about tribunals. Tribunals are groups of people that are appointed or elected to make decisions for other people, and they should also be governed by a set of rules so that they can make fair decisions. We have had in the past a lot of innuendos before facts are known by board members of our fishing board. And these innuendos could come back to haunt people at a later date. If we had this bill passed, it would give us a set of rules to guide decisions. Therefore, these innuendos before the facts are known would not even be a part of decision making. When decision making bodies have good, sound rules to govern their policy making efforts, then the good of all the people are represented, regardless if they're fishing guides, commercial fishermen, or any other user group. I am not a commercial fisherman. I am just a person that makes their living partially by working in canneries, but I do sit on the board of the Defense Fund for the Commercial Fishermen down here in the Kenai Peninsula. This bill has to be approved without amendment so that there will be a guideline for any tribunal circle to make a fair decision to all the people. If we continue to go on like we are without seeing all the people's points and decisions are made that affect not only commercial fishermen down here, but they affect the children that go and work in the canneries that are looking for an income to go to college. They affect truck drivers, trucking industries. They affect people like myself that may make one-third of their income by working a job in the cannery as a mechanic or a welder in the summer months. We have the right under the Constitution. I heard a lot of Constitution talk here today by people that don't seem to know what the Constitution really means. But the Constitution guarantees people the right to make a living, and it guarantees people the right to choose their livelihood and to work where they want to work and make a living at what they want to do. It seems that the bulk of the controversies are to try to tell the people down here that live on the Kenai Peninsula what to do with the resource that's down here. The resource is managed down here very well. The resource is proven managed very well. I disagree with anybody that feels that there's not biological information to state that, because biologically our resources down here in the peninsula are strong. The commercial fisherman has taken his efforts forward in aquaculture to enhance the resource. This natural resource that we have here in the Kenai Peninsula, the salmon resource, is stronger than it ever was, and it will continue to be strong. The policy making of all boards must be without political influence. That's the problem. We have to get the user group and the politics out of the decision making and make their decisions on biologically facts pertaining to the comeback of the resource, which last year's catch was terrific, and it's going to continue to be terrific because it is being managed properly. It is important that when this Board of Fish meet this year, that they do not repeat what they did last year and try to take the livelihood away from commercial fishermen, because they're not taking just the livelihood away from the commercial fishermen. They're taking the livelihood away from a lot of other people, cannery owners, cannery workers, truck drivers, etc. And I feel that now we are going to band together, and I know we are going to band together, and we are going to move so that we can stay and live in our homes down here, pay our mortgages like the people in Anchorage and Fairbanks and etc., and we're going to stay down here and we're going to earn our living, and we need these commercial fishermen. We need House Bill 526 passed without amendment. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Joseph. We'll now go to Juno and take a witness from here. If you state your name and who you represent for the record.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Philip Daniel. I'm with the United Fishermen of Alaska. The United Fishermen of Alaska is a statewide commercial fishermen's organization representing 20 organizations throughout the state. We're very concerned about this whole set of bills that are before the committee. And the reason we are is because we're talking about commercial fishermen's livelihood. The industry has got a $1.3 billion wholesale value. Last year it employed about 65,000 people statewide. The industry ranges from the Bering Sea to Ketchikan. We regulate, the Board of Fish, for example, regulates the crab fishery off Kodiak up in the Bering Sea, regulates shrimp fishery off Kodiak. It's really a sad situation when we look at what we're looking at in this present confrontation between the sports fishermen and the commercial fishermen. And in a way, from the UFA's perspective, we almost owe the commercial fishermen a debt of gratitude because they're doubtlessly going to work to unify commercial fishermen as they've never been unified before. We're gravely concerned and at the same time very willing to admit that the sports fish population in the state is extremely important. They're an important industry. And we have gone before the legislature and are offered to support expansion of the board's 9 members. We have been told that there was a promise made that the sports fishermen would have increased representation on the board, and we're willing, in acknowledgement of that promise, to say let's expand the board to 9 members and put one more sports fisherman on. We would prefer that the other seat goes to AYK Subsistence, not asking that it be commercial, because we think that those people up in that in the interior need representation as well. But the irony of it is that the sports fish community doesn't seem to be interested in going after expansion. And the reason, I think, for that is because I'm not sure they want the battle to be resolved. I think they're also using this as a rallying cry or something to, a flag to rally around. And I just hate to see this kind of confrontation between two large, important user groups in the industry. And the saddest part about it to me is that the party that usually loses in this kind of confrontation is the fish, the resource. When you get the Board of Fish, for example, right now operating under a rather interesting threat. That is, the strategy that I understand from the sports fishermen is that they don't want to expand the board, they don't want confirmation until after the Cook Inlet hearings take place. Well, that's pretty close to a threat. If you don't behave the way we want you to behave, then we'll go after knocking off the entire board. Now, the people are not addressing the individual members on that board, not looking at the people one at a time and saying, hey, you're a good guy or you're a bad guy, or you seem to be able to make these kind of decisions or you don't seem to be able to make them. Last year, the entire board was knocked down. If we lose the board again, and I think there is an extreme probability that we may do just that, then I think we'll be looking at a totally different structure from anything we've ever seen before. And the hidden agenda is not a hidden agenda, actually. I think there are a great many sports fishermen in the state would like to see a professional board. We have real reservations about a professional board. And one of the reservations is we don't want to see a retirement home for bureaucrats created. About vertical integration, having the department really integrated so that there isn't any give and take, no buffer, no ability for citizens to participate in the process. That worries us. Another thing that worries us is we have understood that there would be a no conflict of interest clause in such a piece of legislation creating a professional board. That meaning there could be no active commercial fishermen on the board. Well, of course, if there's no active commercial fishermen on the board, I suppose we'd have to have no active sports fishermen on the board and no active hunters on the board. And I don't know where we're going to go find these anemic people. Perhaps in New York City or perhaps in San Francisco, somebody who's never been in the woods in their lives. This doesn't seem to me to be where we should be headed. I've said this before on similar type confrontations. I hate these kind of confrontations. I think they're harmful to the state. I think they're harmful to the resource. And it really distresses me to see two groups of people go at each other like this and to have the board held hostage in between. But if we, the commercial fishermen and the sports fishermen, had spent 1/16 as much energy trying to get more fish in the water, trying to solve these problems in a constructive way as we have spent in fighting each other, then we'd be one hell of a lot further down the road. I've heard talk in the legislature from some legislators saying that the Cook Inlet set nets site should be condemned. We oppose that. We oppose it strenuously, and I think if you ever want to get the commercial fishermen unified, there's the point where you're going to get them unified. The reason we oppose it is because it's not going to stop in Cook Inlet with the set net sites. The next target will be the gillnet fleet. and it's not necessarily going to stop in Cook Inlet. If you want to know why people don't want roads in Cordova, this is the reason they don't want roads in Cordova, because they don't want to get in the same kind of fight we've got in Cook Inlet, the same kind of fight we have on the Gulf, on the Copper. People don't want roads in across Neck Arm. They don't want roads out into Bristol Bay for the same reason. And I hate to see Anchorage isolate themselves this way. And obviously for the reason that in at least in the voting place, they have more new numbers than anyone else in the state. Again, this isn't the way to solve these problems. The commercial fishermen, I'm just putting these figures together, so they're not quite firm. But in the last few years, commercial fishermen, through the regional aquaculture projects, have invested $17 million of their own money. This is money out of the commercial fishermen's pocket in order to put more fish in the water, not only for themselves, but also for the general public. UFA right now is supporting a resolution which has been introduced, I believe, which would call for the state hatchery projects where they exist and where these intense user group conflicts exist to reorient their production and it put out increasing numbers of sports type fish. And again, the irony is I hear sports fish leadership saying, we don't want hatchery fish. We don't want enhancement projects. The reason they don't want those enhancement projects is because they don't want the problem to disappear. And I think it's really unfortunate. Again, if we can solve the problem that has been stated, that problem being that there isn't enough representation on the board, by expanding, we certainly support it. Anything we can do within reason, we will support to accommodate the interests of the sports fishermen. We think they're important. I think it would just be a crying shame to tear that industry in Cook Inlet up over an issue like this. There are a lot of jobs, and maybe that's the reason we feel so strongly about this. This is employment for people. If you go to Naknek and Igikik and Dillingham and Nanilchek and these places, there isn't any alternative occupation. You know, in Anchorage or Fairbanks, perhaps you do have the advantage of having something else to work at. But it's a person's livelihood, and the industry right now is the largest employer in the state. And all I can ask is I would hope that any commercial fishermen listening to this and any sports fishermen who are listening to it think real hard about it. We'd like to help solve the problem. At the same time, we're not going to stand by and watch the commercial fishery put out of business. Thank you very much.
Yeah, your points are well taken, Bill. Thank you for your testimony. Do you have any comments on any of the other bills on this position?
We would like to see essentially the same structure that we have. I think most commercial fishermen would prefer to see a seven-man board as is, but with the problem that exists, expanding the board is something that we're quite willing to do if it solves the problem. Unfortunately, I suspect that really isn't the problem. I think the problem is a fight over fish, and I think you have to look another direction if you're going to solve that problem. I think we need to get some more fish put in the water.
Thanks for your testimony.
This time, the moderator, at this time, we'll go to Soldatna and take your next person, and then we'll come back to Juno or a person here.
My name is Mike Sutton, and I'm a commercial fisherman. I'm a Eastside Sedimenter here on the Cook Inlet, and mostly I'd just like to support what Joseph Malatesta said today, that we're concerned about our livelihoods down here, and we'd like to see the board understand our concern. I think a lot of these bills wouldn't be necessary if the local Fish and Game Office and their policies and their practices were more fully understood by the board, because they really strive to do a good job, and their failings have been inadvertent. We've got a real good group of men here at the local Fish and Game Office, and when the board sits in judgment on these issues, that they should give more heed to what these men have to say. So I don't really have much more to say today. I'd just like to thank for the opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Sutton. We'll come back here to Juno and take the witness here. If you could state your name and who you represent for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Jaron Bruce, and I'm representing United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters here today. We're an organization of commercial fishermen operating in Southeast Alaska. And over the years that our organization has existed, since 1978, we've had a number of occasions to work with the Board of Fisheries in trying to resolve some of these difficult allocation problems that are the result of all this, that are resulting in all this controversy here today that we we hear. I think the Board of Fisheries will always be somewhat controversial, no matter what you do, because it's making decisions about which people have different opinions and very strong emotions. I do think, however, that there are some things that could be done to improve the process, but certainly totally politicizing the process is not the way to accomplish that. As far as the present 7 members recently appointed by the governor to the board are concerned, we went before the Board of Fisheries in February this year and had an occasion to watch those people in action, and they are all extraordinarily hardworking and knowledgeable people, and it would be a great shame for the state of Alaska to lose those people as a result of a political fight over matters that really don't relate to whether or not those individual board members are doing a good job or not. I think I don't think you could get people that would be any better. Certainly they're not the only 7 people in the state that could do the job, but they are very good people, and the governor is to be commended on his choices. As far as improving the board process, it has been our association's position for some time that a set of criteria or standards to be used in making allocation decisions would be a very large step in the right direction. We need to have some common understanding of what are the goals of our management, what are the values that we want to see our management respond to. Certainly, all users are important. The resource is important. The problem that the board members have frequently is that they are operating in a highly political situation with many different user groups asking for things that they may be able to satisfy or they may not be able to satisfy, but they don't have real clear direction from the Constitution or from the legislature or the governor as to what are the goals and how are they to weigh the different factors. How much do you place on one factor compared to another factor? Without these guidelines, they've still, in most instances, managed to weed through a lot of testimony and come up with decisions that were, at least in our case, reasonable decisions and decisions that tried to address the interests of groups that frankly were in opposition to one another. So in that line, our association supports the concept embodied in House Bill number 526. However, I don't feel like this bill, as it is presently drafted, would do the job. I think it is a good starting point, and I think we would like to see more more specific in terms of the factors that it wants to see that the board should look at and the various weights that should be given to those factors in making allocation decisions. But I do think that the bill in its intent has a lot of merit, and I think that probably is a single bill of these 4 that you have before you that would do the most to improve the process and to make for decisions based on good factual basis, both social and economic facts as well as biological facts. Some of the other bills are different attempts to try to solve these problems that the board has. I think they don't come as close to hitting at the central problem, but certainly one other that we could support would be the expansion of the board to 9 members, if that would be a way of trying to broaden the representation across the state. If there are user groups that feel like they're being left out or sections of the state that feel they're being left out, this would be one way to address that. We also think there is some merit in regional fish and game boards. However, it doesn't seem to be an idea that many other people find very much merit in, so I won't comment on it too much more than to say that I think it deserves a little more, a little closer look than what I think it's getting. As far as House Bill 658 is concerned, there are several things that our association doesn't like about this approach. We do think the advisory committee process is important, and this year we had tried to get to as many advisory committees as we could in Southeast Alaska with our proposals. However, we do not like the idea that the public would be prohibited from putting a bill in to the Board of Fisheries. We don't like the insulation of the public from the decision makers that this board would involve. And frankly, I think the mechanics of it would be very difficult to work out. The local advisory committees do not have staff. I don't believe they would be able to fulfill the obligations that this bill would place upon them. So we can't support this bill, number 658. Again, I believe that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Yeah, we appreciate your comments, Jared. Thank you.
This time, the moderator in Juneau, I'd like to go to Huna at this time. Huna, may we have your participant, please?
My name is Raymond Dick. I'm a senior from Huna. I'm also on the advisory committee. And I think we have the best management plan for fishing game in the United States also. I think the advisory committee, however, could need a little bit more help during the hearings. We're all for House Bill number 645. And against House Bill 563, 526, and 658. I heard a little while ago about allocation problem. I don't think any fishery has an allocation problem. The governors, all they have to do is fish pinks also, like the sailors do, and then your allocation problem would be licked. So I don't think we have any allocation problem at all. So again, I think if we have a little bit more help with the advisory committee before the public hearings, I think we will have a better understanding of what's happening during our meetings and then giving our testimony. And that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Raymond.
This is Tom, the moderator in Juneau. Again, I would like to check with any of our legislative teleconference centers that are still online. Do you have anyone that would like to speak to the committee at this time? Please hail me. Tom in Juneau here.
Tom in Juneau, this is Larry in Anchorage.
Yes, Larry.
Yes, I have Mr. Durbin that wishes to speak.
Please have him come to the microphone, and anybody else, if you have anybody, be prepared to respond. I'll ask the question again. Back to Anchorage.
Madam Chairman, my name is John Durkin. I'd like to, and I am speaking for myself in regards to the four bills, being that they are basically all linked in one way towards the other. And I'd like to remind the legislature that particularly in the expansion of the board, I'll link these all together, and then I'll come on back for any questions. For about 9 or 10 years prior to statehood, we had a professional board. The professional board was a professional board gearing up for the statehood movement. If you do expand the board, possibly the answer would be into splitting the board up into possibly one permanent or one or three permanent board members, and the other six, for argument's sake, for the spring and fall meetings. And I attended the breakup of the board, of which I'd like to deal with a good portion of this. We have five or six different type fisheries. We have, as mandated by the legislature, subsistence. We don't see a subsistence member on the board. In the years that, as we referred to, Gordon's Board of Fisheries, and I go back, particularly with the board, for at least 15 years, and almost every board meeting wherever it was held. I only remember three or four times that that the chairman, Gordon Jensen, abstained from voting. I don't think in a progression of time we seem to have graduated into a conflict of interest. You know, I don't like to turn around and fish for 50 cents on the dollar, but I have to look at the board. I have to, when I go to the board and sit there and watch the board members, I don't particularly like the appointment of Garner. I'm not too enthusiastic with Blake, and you are well realized what has went on in the, what has went on, particularly with breaking the back of the price structure. I offer this solution that that the legislature, if they are going to do it, define a seat as a processor seat. Now, when Gordon Jensen first went on that board, he was a fisherman. He graduated from the fisherman to the processor. I ask that you give some consideration to naming the seat a processor seat, a subsistence seat, if you want to say it, Saner, Gilnetter, so that the different segments of the state will be able to turn around and be protected, whoever they are, wherever they are. I think that it can be arrived if you are going to expand the board into 9 members. But name those seats. If a person is a subsistence user, he is on there to represent the subsistence users. If he's a processor, he is on there in the processor's seat. Saner, Gilnetter, Troller, Dragger, whatever you have. But I'd like to offer that little solution, and I'd like to turn it back to you, and I have one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment, John.
In the line of testimony that's been going on that I've listened to here in the allocation process, I've watched the board, I've seen the pressures on the board, and you have to remember, the pressures on the board, and they will get worse. It showed up in the South Unimac interception problem. Basically, everybody that was from King Cove and Sandpoint was out tanacraft fishing. The audience was filled with Seattle people with $300,000 investments just in the licenses. You know, you're talking $1 million seiners out there now. Big lobbying is big money. And to turn around and to justify, as an example, the $350,000 licenses at False Pass have surpassed Chignik. Chignik reached up to a $500,000 and dropped back to $300,000. So wherever you're going to see big money licenses, it's like a skee-balling effect. There's going to be pressures on the board, and however you do it, I think that some way you should insulate the board from that lobbying pressure of those business investors out to turn around and protect their $1 million investments. And I'd like to leave it go with that. Thank you for the attempt to testify.
Yeah, thank you very much, John.
This is Tom, the moderator in Juneau. I'd like to check once more with all of our sites. First, let me check with the Legislative Teleconference Center sites. Do any of you have anyone that wishes to speak to the board?
Tom, this is Vicki in Seward, and my participant is here and ready to testify.
Oh, fine, Vicki. Have him go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Mike Wiley. I live in Moose Pass. I'd like to be a fisherman all the time.
This is the moderator in Juneau. We're not hearing the Seward participant. We heard you identify yourself and then we lost you.
You went fishing.
Can you hear me now?
You're coming through loud and clearly.
Okay, I guess you just didn't have the best. Okay.
How's that? Do you copy now?
Coming through beautifully.
Fine. I'd like to testify in favor of House Bill 526. In the past few, 5 or 10 years, we've seen too many decisions, too many fish and game decisions going to the courts for those decisions. I feel that this bill might help the Fish and Game Board in making their decisions on a based on a sustained yield. We have a lot of competition for the fish, for the salmon especially. And I think this bill will help clarify that to a great extent. I wonder if I also might comment on the board. Would it be appropriate to comment on the appointments at this time?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. I would like to go on record also favoring the new appointments. And if I think that we're quite concerned about how the House especially did last session, where the many of us are quite critical. And I think one of the indications that there's too much politics being played down there is the fact that the